Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Welcome, everybody. Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up, the Chuck and Julie Show on this day after the Republican convention. And we're brought to you, as always, by who, Julie?
By ColoradoCitizenPress.com, Colorado's conservative voice. Great website, a lot of stories, the kind of stuff you're not going to see in the Denver Post, whose cancellation or whose subscription I canceled yesterday, by the way. I was
just
so outraged.
Delivery.
Yeah. But anyway, ColoradoCitizenPress.com and Cynogenics of Denver with Dr. Julie McCallum, too. We'll tell you a little bit more about that in a little bit. Hey, we got a lot going on today. Today, we've got Patrick Neville coming on as soon as we get him for the weekly Minority Report, an update on the lawsuit that they had filed. And then later on in the show at 3:20, the A-man, we sent up the bat signal, George Anthonisopoulos coming in, Republican strategist, taking a look at some of the numbers and the campaign contributions. Because, you know, money talks, really. And
yes,
I think with people, when people donate money, they tend to follow through with their votes. A lot of other stuff going on today, too. I want to say I was down at the Trump bus rally in Westminster. It was up in the northern Colorado yesterday. It was kind of making its way around the Front Range today.
Kyle Poles was making fun of it, so it must be effective.
Exactly. You know, I got to say, there were probably about 150 people there. We'll play a little bit of video because I want to compare and contrast the Trump bus video with what happened to Senator Rand Paul last night. You'll be amazed. You got to see this video. But there were about 150 people there. I saw Christy Burton Brown was there from the Republican Party. I saw
Jenna Ellis
was there. Who used to come on our show sometimes at KNUS before she became famous and now she goes on Fox. Casper Stockham is there. Steve House was there. Saw Laura Eimer there. Several local candidates. It was really a pretty darn good turnout. Very peaceful. The cops were there. I think largely, though, the cops are there. There's a food bank that shares a parking lot, and they were there, a lot of it, just trying to...
Well, are Trump rallies anything but peaceful, except for, you know, BLM coming in and,
right.
And
here's the thing. There were two more events going on in Denver today, Black Lives Matter events. Well, one of them was with Alverta Simmons, who has actually kind of spoken out against the Black Lives Matter violence from the stuff I've seen. I mean, he has been a long time, I would say, activist in Denver, and he was holding a march sort of in solidarity with the Washington, D.C. march at the City Park, okay? The anarchists appear to be holding another rally at Civic Center Park. Earlier, I saw some TV people were tweeting pictures of them once again descending on the police department. One of our listeners, Mark, said his son lives downtown and had called in and said, more arrests, more rioting, it looks like. Some of the anarchists were tweeting. Some of them have been arrested and they want people to help bail them out. So much for Mary Hancock and Governor Polis says, oh, we're not going to tolerate this in Denver anymore. That lasted, what, a day?
About a day. That's about what Polis is good for. Also interesting in the news, our good friend Randy Corcoran, he's got a show on 17 KNUS since he Republican committee man from Colorado. He must be getting to him.
Hit job
by CNN, who said they went through all his former
shows. Yeah, like some reporter. I'm just going to say Media Matters did that. Like some CNN reporter. Well, can you just say you're the CNN reporter? You get this, hey, I'm your editor. I want you to go listen to the to 8 years worth of tapes of Randy Corcoran, this Denver weekend talk show host. You would be like, I don't think so. I mean, give me a break. Like,
going back to Barack Obama's birth certificate. And that's 12 years ago.
They were citing shows from 2012.
Seriously? It's just one after the other thing. You were mean to this woman. You called her a slut, I think, or something. It was hilarious. It was just hilarious.
He was talking about J-Lo and commenting and Shakira after, which they were. I mean, I'm sorry. And they were dancing, and it was part of the Super Bowl performance. But it was totally soft pornish. Yeah. I mean, that was the intent, right? I mean, they would be like, well, yeah, you know, and so, but CNN, for some reason, so, you know, and Randy Corbin, I think, is just getting off the plane, coming back from attending the president's speech. What a cool opportunity.
Yeah.
But you know, he's filed a lawsuit for Patrick. He's fighting at Bandamere. He's got to be making a difference. Why on earth, you got to ask yourself, is CNN attacking Randy Corbin?
On a behest of who?
Right. I mean, so. Who handed him those tapes? Who handed him?
Well, who would say, look, this is a guy who's a Republican committee man, which is about obscure position as there. I forgot who the committee man before Randy was, his name. And the other ones are across the country. So they say, we've got this guy in a radio show, and we want you to do just this incredible stuff. Just attack him.
And here's all the evidence for you.
Here's all of it. You don't have to listen to endless hours of tapes. And so we're thinking, okay, yes.
Okay.
We must get Randy Corbin. He's a danger to all of America. Get that Randy Corbin guy.
See, I think, and you know, and while we're waiting for Patrick, maybe we can open up to the phones, 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. I think the Democrats are getting worried. A couple things happened. Kamala Harris.
Yeah, they're down to Randy.
Exactly. If they're down to attacking Randy Corbin, and not that Randy isn't a big deal, he is.
In Colorado, he's increasingly.
I tell you what, if you were to tell anyone in CNN to actually find Colorado on a map, I guarantee you most of them couldn't do it, except for the ones who used to live here, right? I mean, they'd be like, Colorado, is that?
Well,
they, is
that no, in that's America? Not true. That's not true. I mean, you think about it. CNN has become sort of the doppelganger of 710 KNUS, which we were on. So let's see. They got Silverman, and they had this huge hubbub. He was on CNN two or three or four times. Then when we got fired, there's lots of stuff on CNN on that.
Oh, that's true.
And now Randy Corbin. The guy, again, this is must be the biggest station in the world. They reach billions of people. He's got a Saturday morning show. Oh, my God. He must be all powerful.
Hey, let's go to Iggy online, too. Hey, Iggy, thank you for calling in.
Hey, comrades. How's it going?
Good.
Very good.
Okay, well, I've got a bombshell for you. Oh, maybe it's not a bombshell. Maybe it's just a hand grenade, okay?
Okay.
So I got to tell you a quick story, and I'm going to try to make it as short as I can. So I've got this grandson who's 7. He's in second grade, and he's going to turn 8 in November. His father's illegal, and 9 years ago, I went and introduced him to Jared Polis. I crashed the Jared Polis meeting, and, you know, that's just the kind of thing I do. Okay. And so to try to help him with his immigration problems, which Jared did everything he said he was going to do, but my son-in-law didn't follow.
Okay.
So anyway, I sat down with my grandson last night and was talking. I don't know what we were talking about. I said, do you realize that your dad has met the governor? And he said, my dad has met John Hickenlooper. he's not the governor right now. I said, I wish he was, but Jared Polis is the governor right now. And I said, how do you know about John Hickenlooper? He said, he's a bad guy.
You cannot take a YouTube thing up without Hickenlooper.
You got it.
Man.
Yeah. Absolutely. I asked him, I says, where do you hear all this? He talked to, oh, he makes beer and he does bad things. And I says, well, where did you hear all this? He says, YouTube.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
great.
You know, Iggy, it was interesting. Floyd Cerulli, who is, I think it's fair to say, a Democrat leading consultant, right? And pollster, had a column up today where he said, okay, you know, John Hickenlooper still should clobber, Cory Gardner, but just some folks in the Hickenlooper campaign are starting to get worried. They're thinking maybe he should actually campaign. Maybe he should put an ad out there. I got to tell you, Iggy, I think, and like we said, they're attacking Randy Corcoran. Mm-hmm. You saw how the RNC, I mean, they're complaining about, you know, did Donald Trump's grandson really build the Lego White House by himself?
Scandal.
I mean, I got to think they're a little bit worried, maybe a lot worried.
Absolutely. Well, I've listened to Tom Hartman for a brief period of time, as much as I could do without throwing up. And they're all raising hell about him doing stuff in the Rose Garden and broadcasting from the White House.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of stuff.
And it's violating What is
the Hatch Act? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the Hatch Act. Wow, we're sorry.
How dare he pardon somebody? I mean, no thought that, hey, you know what, maybe it's nice that this guy's pardoned and he deserved to be pardoned. It's like, that's wrong that he pardoned him for political purposes.
Pompeo cannot come into a Republican convention. Well, there are five cabinet members in the 2012 Democrat. Oh, that's okay. That's Obama. But now, you know, they're really grasping at straws for the burning.
Absolutely. And they're not. And then on top of that, so this young man who is in being chased, and actually, which I can't figure out how he managed to do, a 17-year-old who was being chased or assaulted or whatever was going on with an AR-15 managed to hit three different people in the dark.
Yeah.
Lynn Wood announced that he was going to take his case on. Now, Lynn Wood would not take a case on and make a big deal out of it if he wasn't sure he was going to win it.
Exactly. Well, I think, and we're going to talk with Mark Poff about this on Monday because he's our law enforcement expert. He called this the day before that happened. He said, when the cops are prevented from doing their job, he said, citizens step up. And he said, I'm sorry, but too many of you guys don't know how to handle guns in these kind of situations. And he said, people are going to get hurt. And boom, that's what happened. Yeah, Iggy, I think when you start looking at the tape, even the New York Times was forced to put together the videos that show, without going into what was a kid doing there with a gun in the first place, a lot of questions about that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, he's clearly attacked first. I mean, it's clearly self-defense. And the video, the second time where there's a shooting, the other guy has a gun, right? First he gets smacked in the head, the other person has a gun. And I think you're right, Lynn Wood does not jump in, you know, unless
to lose a case.
A case, yeah.
Yeah, a national case.
So, yes.
Anyway, that's the good news spot for today.
All right, thank you. Hickenlooper's a bad man. So just
we should
all know that. We should all. Well, that is a little interesting. Let me, while we're trying to get Patrick, and we may not, let's go ahead and maybe we'll play some of the videotape. I don't know if you, I want to compare and contrast the way that the anti-Trump people handled and nearly killed Rand Paul. And then today at the Trump bus rally, two people with Black Lives Matter signs show up. And I just want to, I'm going to show you the difference in the way the two sides respond to somebody who doesn't agree with them. So Thomas there at BBS, if we could roll the Rand Paul video, this was an interview that Rand Paul did this morning with Fox News. So if we could roll that, if you get a chance.
And just, it really, these people were unhinged. But I can't tell you how, I'm not sure we would have made it. So as we're walking, sort of surrounded by the police, they're attempting to push the police over to get to me. So at one point, they push a policeman backwards. He stumbles, and he's trying to catch his balance, and I catch the back of his flak jacket to stabilize him and, you know, make sure that he's okay because he's our defense. I mean, if he's down, the mob's loose on us. And you've seen the pictures of what they do to you. If the police are not there, if you defund the police, if we become Portland, if America becomes Portland, what's going to happen is people are going to be pummeled and kicked in the head and left senseless on the curb. That would have happened to us. I promise you, had we not had the D.C. police to support us, I mean, we are thankful that we have police.
Right.
And we've got to wake up.
I mean, and talk about how stupid the protesters were. They kept shouting at Rand Paul to say her name, Breonna Taylor. And Rand Paul's like, I'm the one who sponsored the legislation to stop the no-knock warrants.
Nationally.
So that's how the protesters handled it when they disagreed with Rand Paul. For this other video clip, it's really short, but it was in Westminster this morning. There were pro-Trump people there, and there were a couple of ladies holding Black Lives Matter sign. And just look at the difference. If we could roll that videotape, too, the Trump bus videotape.
Mexican lives matter!
See, look, they were standing there shouting Black Lives Matter, Mexican Lives Matter.
Why is it always dumpy white women who are holding the signs?
Well,
there we go.
It was just so curious. I mean, you saw that one woman looked at her and she kind of shook her head. And I mean, they were standing there right in the middle of all the Trump people and they yelled that every so often. And every so often, one of the other women would say, you know, all lives matter. But I mean, that's the difference. They weren't threatened. They weren't beat up. They weren't anything. And I submit.
Have they ever been?
No. they were clearly there to create trouble too, because as soon as they realized nobody was going to beat them up or anything.
Well, they get paid for it. You show up for 10 minutes and then collect your 150
beach. Well, Chuck, and that's what Rand Paul said. Rand Paul was talking about, goes, these people are paid to show up. They're paid to cause trouble. And if they're causing trouble in downtown Denver, it's the same thing again, right? They're the people who are, that's their job to cause trouble. But I think it's backfiring on the Democrats.
There you go.
Don't you?
I hope so. I think you certainly get the feeling, and it's reflected not so much in the polls that have come out, but the betting odds have been reduced. They were, closer to 60-40
for Biden,
and now it's like 52-48, and so there is a feeling out there that Biden is starting to slip, and you hear people like Don Lemon saying, the polls, the focus groups, they don't like rioting, stop it. So you certainly get the feeling that, and Trump was out today, that bus was here, Pence is out in New Hampshire, Trump is going out there. And
Biden's still in the basement.
Well, Biden said, after Labor Day, which is not until next week, the following week, he may saunter out of his, bunker and go up to Minnesota or something.
Well, they'll do another interview on CNN where you can see he's reading the answer,
right, yeah.
Which means that CNN sent him the questions in the first place so he could write the answer. Yeah, I feel very optimistic. I was not for a while, right? Even here in Colorado, I'm starting to feel a certain degree.
I'm
always optimistic. Yeah. But I think we had Kamala Harris and Joe Biden first mask mandate, right? National mask mandate. Well, today, Kamala Harris, it's kind of like Pirates of the Caribbean. It's like, it's more of a mask guideline, right? It's not really a mandate, more of a guideline, right?
Suggestion.
Jared Polis, they're doing their best, but if people don't buy it, the Colorado Supreme Court, if you don't get Patrick, I'll fill you in on the breaking news. Randy Corbin, on Patrick and Michelle Malkin's behalf, had filed directly with the Colorado Supreme Court asking them to rule on Jared Polis's overreach of executive orders, including the mask mandate. And the Colorado Supreme Court declined to hear that case. So now they're going to go in district court. But Jared Polis, in reaction, said, well, Patrick Neville and Michelle Malkin, they're just trying to kill people. They're haters and they're killers.
Absolutely.
You know what, Jared? Nobody buys that anymore, mm-hmm. right? So when they try to say national mask mandate, Joe Biden, even they're saying, look at all those people, super spreaders.
So wonderful that almost no one had a mask on.
Right.
And that was great. And of course, somebody said the mainstream media lost all credibility in the issue. And they go, oh, no, protests, you never get coronavirus in a protest. Protests are coronavirus proof. And so none of these people have to wear masks as long as they're protesters.
Right.
This is BS. And now everybody, all those people out there, 1,500, 2,000
people. And the
thing
is,
it was great to watch them. Kind of like, no, this is garbage.
And you watch then, again, the violence. So you've got the Democrats, I think, have put all of their eggs in the people are just going to, coronavirus is going to be so bad, so scary, that people are going to blame Donald Trump for everything and see Joe Biden as their savior. So he's not going to have to campaign. He's not going to have to debate. That's not working. People are back at work. Kids are back at school. It's moving, right? And nobody wants it to go backwards except the Democrats. So when they start doing mask mandates, lock things down, Wall Street was back up 150 points over where it was before all of this started. So it's regained that nobody wants to go back. And the Democrats keep trying to push it.
Let's shut everything down again. We can really get the coronavirus under control.
Right. I think it's not working. In the meantime, they're absolute silence.
I think people are figuring out if you're over 80 years old and you have various comorbidities, you got to worry about everybody else. Not quite so much.
Well, it's not worth destroying the economy again.
Well,
right?
There are lots of things that can kill you. Lightning can kill you. Cars can kill you. All kinds of stuff that can kill you.
Right.
But you can't just end life just because something might kill you, and coronavirus is fitting into that one.
Well, and even if it were more true than what they're making it, I still think, it's been going on since March, right? You can't really have people had terrorized for that long.
Well,
and here's another thing, their hypocrisy is coming forward. So, when Jared Polis is commenting on the mask lawsuit, right, that the Supreme Court that Patrick Neville filed, and he's saying, Patrick Neville and Michelle Malkin are just going to kill people if they don't wear masks. That's, remember, because I did a little bit of research on this. You know when Jared Polis signed the mask mandate?
Mm-mm.
Guess which month? July.
Right.
July 16th. Yeah. So it was so deadly. Masks were so necessary that we didn't have to wear them in March, didn't have to wear them in April, didn't have to wear them in June, didn't have to wear them until July 16th. That's a, and the only reason he did that was because if the thing was starting to be over and they needed to scare people. So if anybody was killing people, it was Jared Polis letting it go for 4 months, right? By the time he put the mask mandate in effect, peak was already done and we were well on our way to being over it. So, you know, the hypocrisy, I think, is there. One more thing before we bring George on. I also think the hypocrisy, if you think for a second that it's a coincidence that after a relatively small bout of violence between Antifa people and rioters and the Denver Police Department, all of a sudden Mayor Hancock and Jared Polis both on the same day come out condemning it. Right?
Oh, so boldly, so powerfully.
They've ignored it all before. Oh, they've ignored everything before. I got to tell you, it's exactly like Don Lemon said on CNN. The polling is indicated. People don't like it. And now the Democrats are stuck, right? How do they go out there and condemn it and not condemn it at the same time?
It is looking up on the Republican side. And I think the convention was great for the Republicans. I mean, we're probably going to do some short ones of people in it.
Video
of it. But you know, the average everyday people like Alice Johnson, like the Kayla Mueller parents and all that. I mean, they were unbelievable.
Ben has given us a thumbs up.
They were unbelievable. I mean, nothing wrong with Giuliani's speech or Tom Cotton's, but boy, it had nowhere near the impact.
And places like Politico and other places that said every minority person who showed up was a token minority and they were propped up. I mean, talk about racist, right? As if somehow a minority person can't think for themselves and decide for themselves. They've deleted all those
that
tweets.
One's kind of getting old.
Yeah. Well, should we bring on the A-Man?
Why not?
All right.
Why not?
We have George Anthanasopoulos here with us, the A-Man. If people listen to our show at 710 KNUS, he's a great Republican strategist who actually has a real job now. But George, thank you for taking time on this Friday to spend with us. You there? Him right back. The reason I want to talk to George, because he's very good at numbers crunching and he's very good at election strategy, basically the technique of winning an election.
And also researching.
Seeing
where all the money comes from, who's given it, all that type of thing.
Right. And one of the things I saw that I thought was interesting was that Donald Trump so far has raised $5.6 million in Colorado. Now, overall, you may say, well, that's not all that much, but it is a lot when you look at it. In 2016, he only raised $500,000. Right. I mean, that's significantly more. And then you add to that, you take a look at what Joe Biden has raised. Joe Biden has raised $3.2 million.
And in Colorado, I don't know, they seem to have an endless spigot of money for Democrats.
Well, and Biden's campaign contributors are like, you know, almost all of his money has come from the usual millionaire, billionaire suspects, Pat Stryker, Tim Gill, and another person. I mean, so all of whom gave like $500,000, right? So he's had like four donors.
Right.
So we wanted to get George to take
let's
a look.
See, let's try again. George, you there?
Thank you for having me.
Okay, right. Sorry about the little audio glitch. So when we were explaining, we had you take a look at the money. Sort of, what's your assessment of what's going on in Colorado?
Did you give all of it? I mean,
yeah. Was it now that you have a real job? Did you?
Well, what's more interesting than the money right now for me, because it's unsurprising, Democrats are doing very well in the state of Colorado. Corey actually has built up quite the war chest. He's got $2 million cash in hand at the end of the July quarterly report, and that's about double what John Hickenlooper has. The problem is, just because he has that war chest doesn't mean he's going to spend it well. And what gives me confidence going into November as a Republican is when you look at models, and I'm not talking about polling, I'm talking about models.
Okay.
So if you look at the 538 model, it gives Biden a slight, and the word is slight, edge in November, and that has been trending towards Trump.
Wow.
And then if you look at the Cato Institute, the poll that they did talking about how many Americans feel comfortable expressing their political views, that had the percentage who do not feel comfortable has increased remarkably. And I think what that's going to lead to this November is we're going to see a Bradley effect at the national level, where polling will indicate, let's say, Biden is going to win by X percent. And you can do that nationally, or you can do that at the state level. And then when election results come in, because people have been afraid to express their true political views, or they represent themselves as undecided when they are far from, I think you're going to see Republicans perform their polling. Now, that's good news for the Republicans at the national level.
Yeah.
Not good news here, because even the models for Colorado, for instance, Trump, 30 out of 100 different model runs,
mm-hmm.
wins. Joe Biden wins 69.
Yeah, that's
but Corey, in Colorado, Trump wins only 15 out of 100. So that means it's twice the road to hoe here in Colorado as it is nationally for a Republican running statewide. And even if Corey can outperform Trump in the state of Colorado, and based on how he spends his money, I don't see that as incredibly likely, it's still a very difficult road to hoe.
Yeah. Although I wonder if...
But did you have a chance to look at who gave the $5.6 million?
Could you even break it down? I don't know if you could even break it down.
I haven't broken it down yet. I look more at how they're spending their money, and
right.
I look at... For instance, if you break into broad categories, I mean,
we want to know who gave it to them.
I know, but I think it's all individual. Let him finish and say how are they spending it? Because that also tells you a little bit about what their strategy is.
Well, it tells you everything about their strategy.
Right.
So, for instance, direct mail, they're spending twice as much, let's say through the first two reporting quarters of this year, twice as much on direct mail as they are on staff, on people.
Who's they? Who's they? Corey or Hickenlooper?
This is Corey.
Okay.
Corey.
Okay.
So, and then if you remember in the primary, so the Republicans went all in on the primary because they thought John Hickenlooper had a difficult race. Right.
Right.
He was trending downward. The Republicans were spending a ton of money, both, you know, Corey and national level Republican committees, and just beating up on Hickenlooper. The idea was, if we can soften him up, force him to spend money, if he doesn't have a strong victory, he's a weakened candidate. And they spent millions of dollars. We've all seen the television commercials about, you know, John Hickenlooper blowing up houses, taking money from criminals, robbing banks, and he still trounced his opponent by 20 points.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm totally on board with everything, and, you know, you and Chuck have always said, and that is, quit spending so much money on direct mailers that no one even looks at these days and just throws
away. Direct
mailers and knock on doors and find out who those people are who are not willing to say who, you know, who they're going to vote for. You need to go knock on their door and find them and then get their ballot, right? I mean, that's where his money needs to be spent.
Well, you see it in the national conversation about the all-mail ballots.
Right.
So everybody points to states like Colorado, and now I believe the total number of states who do all-mail balloting is up to 5.
Mm.
And Colorado was kind of a trailblazer in that regard. And, you know, we do all-mail ballot elections better than people or states who will, let's say, start this year or want to start this year. But remember, it's not like our all-mail ballot elections are perfect. They're far from it, because when you hear Democrats talking about all-mail ballot elections, they talk about everything that happens after the ballot is received.
Right,
Signature verification. They talk about, you know, X, Y, and Z.
It's okay, George. We'll bring in Patrick Neville to join our conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, for the Weekly Minority Report, State Representative Patrick Neville. Hey, Patrick, thank you for calling back.
Hey, yeah, sorry. I was late. It's actually George's fault. I was late.
It's always
George's fault. George, would you like to defend yourself there for a second?
Yeah, and it was so in the middle of one of my exams that, you know, and I started getting all these texts that I put my phone away and I looked up and go, oh no, what time is it? So I called you guys back immediately.
Well, thank you. Hey, so George, don't go anywhere, George, because we wanted to talk to you too. Well, Patrick, real quick, one of the things I noticed, so the Colorado Supreme Court, I read, declined to hear your case. And first of all, before we get to that, because I think there are options, I was pointing out earlier, what a hypocrite Polis is. He's saying you and Michelle Malkin are going to kill babies people. And old people and relatives and nuns and everybody because you're not wearing masks. But I pointed out Polis himself didn't even issue the mask mandate till July 16th, right? So for months, we were all wanting, he didn't think we needed a mask. And then once it became politically expedient, he decided we did. So, I mean, what do you think of just his response to the whole thing?
Well, I'll tell you really quickly, his response shows you why we need this lawsuit more than ever. His response is, well, I made this decision, and if you don't agree with this decision, then it doesn't matter the process or how we did it. It's just I made it, and if you don't agree with it, then you want to kill people, and mm-hmm. you're not on the side of Colorado. Meanwhile, we have a Colorado Constitution to protect the citizens of Colorado.
For right. people like Polis.
What Boston does is it says we need to protect the citizens of Colorado and actually go through a process. And one man shouldn't be writing laws and implementing laws. We have three separate branches, very clear in the state constitution. And the state constitution has great language actually saying we can't abdicate these roles to a different branch, which is what we have done. We've abdicated right. our role to King Polis, and now King Polis is writing laws and implementing laws.
Right. What about...
But did you happen to see the CNN attack on Randy Corcoran?
No, I did not. No.
Oh, you got to see it. It's these kind of attacks are usually reserved for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just,
you can see he's making a difference.
In third grade, he was absent five times during the first semester.
Clearly anti-American.
Life.
It was
his whole
was
life was, you know,
bizarre. Yeah. Well, back to the mask thing,
I
though.
Mean, Randy's old enough; he might have been able to use the Konami code of, you know, Congress. He's actually an adult. I mean, how dare him?
Exactly. I mean, it's so we know you guys are doing some good. Otherwise, they wouldn't be spending so much time and energy and money. Somebody's doing the research to listen to billions of hours of Randy Corcoran's radio show to pull out obscure comments he made. But back to the lawsuit, as I understand it, it was somewhat expected that the Supreme Court was going to decline to hear it anyway, right? You guys are. And so tell us what your options are and what you're going to do now.
Yeah, right. So we were asking them for original jurisdiction. That's very, very extremely rare. There's been more requests made lately because of what's happening, because there are so many orders being forced down people's throats. But it's pretty rare for them to actually accept that. I think this is one of the cases that if they were to accept it, it should have been this case. Yeah. But they chose not to. But it doesn't mean we're going to give up. Quite frankly, this, you know, just strengthens our resolve. I know Polis, you know, King Polis and King you know, or I don't know what you want to call them, court jester wiser out there probably love the extra time to prepare for their lawsuit. Right. So they probably love that, but we're headed straight to district court after this, and then we'll go through the process. We're not giving up. It's not like this is over. I mean, we basically have a one sentence reply from the Colorado Supreme Court saying, no, we're not going to take this up, but it doesn't mean they won't take it up in the future. They just want
well,
to do the normal
matter.
Process. Yeah, yeah. We're committed
well,
to
it. They did decide to take it up for the Colorado legislature when they wanted it, when they came. Yeah. That was nice of them to access it there, but this is for the people, so who cares? You know, it'll right. wind its way up there in 4 or 5 years.
After
and
we're all
dead.
Well, that's so funny. Is that, that's, what is Paul scared of? I mean,
right.
he truly wants to implement these orders. He's got control of the House and the Senate, Democrat control. Call us up. Have us vote on it.
Right.
Don't keep prolonging this. Just making orders willy-nilly here and there and spending billions of dollars here and there as you
right.
see fit. And he's the problem is he's drunk on power and he loves it.
Yeah,
right.
all the governors.
More so than any other reason, I think he's doing this to protect his other friends in the legislature from taking tough votes on this, like we should be doing.
Exactly.
He's not up for election this year. He's up for election in 2 more years. So he can kind of weather the storm and then go back to being, oh, golly gee, I'm just Jared Polis, the good guy that everyone expects me to be.
Moderate, pragmatic.
So he can take the hit for his buddies in the legislature, but the legislature, they've got to be up for election this year, and they're saying, oh, I don't want to take the vote on this.
You know, speaking to the election this year, we have, you know, George Anthonisopoulos, who was earlier saying, and George is kind of like Chuck, known for their optimistic, cheery demeanors. George, a peacemaker, as he's called himself before, was saying he was becoming a little bit more optimistic about Republicans' chances. Maybe not in Colorado, but, you know, we were talking about watching the RNC, watching the Democrats flounder as apparently there are more riots going on in Denver as we speak. And I read one tweet that said every time a Biden supporter attacks a Trump supporter, you get 100 new Trump supporters. I mean, what? How are you reading the tea leaves? Are things changing, do you think?
You know, I think overall, when I look at it nationwide and the way the year is going, things are, you know, looking better for the nation. We still have a lot of changes to make in Colorado. And you guys don't have enough minutes in your show for me to cover it all, but we've got a strong establishment Republican Party who's actually quite frankly to looking out to see more, not their Republican, they are actually kind of working against them in many ways.
Right.
Going against them, and we've got to totally change what we're doing, but it's been an uphill battle for us. I don't know if they will ever actually see the light. I mean, there's so many lessons to be learned from people like Lauren Boebert, but instead of trying to learn from those lessons, they go, man, kick this guy's butt. It's like, no one ever saw this coming. Instead of actually trying to learn lessons from her, they're saying, well, she can't win. She ruined it for all of us.
And yeah, well, one person who did see it coming was
the ruined their little fiefdom of consultancies and people making money off of.
That's the smartest thing they ever did in the Blue Book, you know, the Blue Book strategy, when they just got rid of all the Democratic consultants. If you got rid of all the Republican consultants who raised money from Democrats saying, I've got a rhino, give us money, we'd be so much better off.
Yeah. Well, I think, Patrick, I mean, only final question for you, and then we'll get back to George. Anything that, you know, you always are really good about, you know, when we say anything else you want folks to know about or paying attention to?
No, I think that's the biggest thing going on right now is, you know, the lawsuit that we did is not just for the mask mandate. That's kind of the crux of it all. But if people go to www.stopthemaskmandate.com, they can donate to help us out there. We were kind of hoping to, if the Supreme Court would have taken this up, it probably would have saved some costs down the road, but they're choosing not to. So it means we're going to have some extra attorney fees and stuff. They can help us out there too. And then quite frankly too, they can also just give us their story. This might be helpful going along. I know friends of mine who've gotten assaulted because of people, you know, didn't like them not wearing a mask in certain places or whatever those stories are. As we go through the legal process, we need to have those stories and have those people's contact numbers so we can actually fight back on this.
Yeah, all right, perfect. All right, Patrick, thank you for your time. Good luck on your exam.
Hey, thank you guys, and sorry to interrupt you, George.
No. Well, George, let me, because you were one of the first ones to recognize the potential and predict that Lauren Boebert was going to clobber Scott Tipton. How did you read the magic tea leaves that way when some of the experts have completely failed to see that coming?
I mean, I talked to Lauren before she ran. I talked to her, you know, practically throughout the race. I talked to her quite a bit when ballots were going out, and you know, she had a great strategy. She worked incredibly hard, and you know, the problem is Pat's absolutely right. And Pat is one of the few Republicans in the state of Colorado, and I'm talking about a handful of Republicans, who really gives me hope. And so I hope that Pat continues to stay involved and continues to, I mean, I would love to elevate him to higher office if I were in for a day, kind of like Jared Polis is. But I would love to see him in Congress. I would love to see him in the Senate. I would love to see him in these other offices, but the problem
is he fails. What you're saying is we hope he fails his exam, right? So he's forced to.
No, of course I don't.
No, you don't. We don't.
But I, the problem is you have consultants who want to make money in the state. And that was one of the things in the Democrats, you know, Blue Book. It's, getting rid of the consultants was key.
Right.
And stopping all the wasteful spending of money was absolutely instrumental in their success. And it's a lesson that we as Republicans haven't learned. The only hope we have is that they lose so many races that essentially they get their own ineptitude runs them out of business.
And yeah.
Unfortunately for the state, that's what we're seeing play out before us and through the last several elections. Used to have
what they figured out is they go to, you know, almost assured Republican strongholds, raise money from Democrats, and get rhinos elected.
I mean, Ted Tripp flat out said that's a new policy, right? Yeah. Ted Tripp flat out explained to us, George, because you're working, you don't have time to listen, but we had Ted on, and he's been saying, you know, that there are certain places that are just solid Republican and solid Democrat, but what they're doing now is they're playing in the solid Republican districts by having Democrats contribute to the rhino fake Republicans, and they're winning their races. So we said, he said, we realize we can't win just by running a Democrat. So what we do is we co-opt the Republican. And I'm like, once again, brilliant, you know, and it works. So
he really is an evil genius.
He is. Well, back to some of your analysis then. And I think you raise a good point. That's great that Cory Gardner has this massive campaign chest, but if he's going to continue spending it on consultants who farm the direct mailers out to each other and they pocket all the money, that's not a winning strategy to beat John Hickenlooper.
No. And you can see it in the modeling, you can see it in the polling, and he is the most vulnerable senator in this election cycle, and the Democrats are gunning for him. And just because Hickenlooper has half the money that he does on hand does not mean that Hickenlooper is going to be outspent. That's just false. And, you know, Cory is amassing this war chest, but he hasn't been canvassing. He doesn't have offices. He doesn't have a ground game. And even though we are in the middle of the, you know, coronavirus pandemic, and you have Jared Polis out there, you know, playing the omnipotent ruler who demands that we adhere to certain principles, which, by the way, the rioting, the support for BLM, you can see drop in polls by 20 points. That is a good issue for Republicans to run on. Like, all the unrest, all the riot, it is not peaceful protest, it is rioting. And you have to look no further then pictures of downtown. It is not the same downtown that you and I remember.
No.
Moreover.
But have you seen the strong statements coming out from Senator Gardner's office? I missed them, maybe. Maybe they came out at midnight.
He's talking about Parklands, Chuck. He's busy with Parklands.
I mean, it is amazing that he basically, I'm going to alienate no one. No one. So if I win by some miracle, it's a miracle. If I lose, I've alienated no one, and I go happily into lobby world. I mean, he really. Yeah. You'd think he'd be on top of that. You know, saying this riding downtown is bad. No,
because nobody thinks it's a good idea. There isn't anybody who is like, well, I mean, that I take that back. The anarchists and the rioters think it's a good idea. But you know, we have at the newspaper. You know, we have various newspaper stands all over downtown, and you know, our guys who were dropping them off, they said you wouldn't even recognize it. They said Brown Palace boarded up. Everything's boarded up. They went to Syrup. They said Syrup's boarded up. You know, the state capitol boarded up. The courthouse boarded up. They said it looks like a deserted, you know, former war zone. And in fact, he said, they were saying, you know, we might as well pull the newsstands out of there because no one is downtown to look at it, you know? And you're right.
And here's the thing. Republicans need to be unequivocal. We are for law and order, so we will put an end to the chaos. And we are for sending your kids back to school, normal school, regular school, because the school, as has been offered thus far this school year, is a fiasco. And
which would be another one if you were Cory Gardner to run on. You're absolutely right. For him to come out and say, you know, like Larry Hogan, the somewhat rhino-ish, not rhino, governor of Maryland, said no, all kids should go back to school. And you would think that'd be a winner for Cory Gardner or anybody else. But Silence.
No, those are kitchen table issues that regular voters passionately care about.
Right.
And if they would actually talk to regular voters, they would know this, but they don't.
Right.
So that's why they're running their stupid commercials about, you know, this, you know, I'm so bipartisan and I passed this wildlife thing and whatever. That's great, but
no one cares.
I'm not concerned about national parks when I'm trying to work at home and I have multiple kids in multiple Zoom classes every day and I'm trying to juggle different things. Oh. That's great. Also, I don't care that Hickenlooper robbed banks and blew up houses and all that other stuff. Like, speak to me where I am, not right. where you think I should be.
Well, where it's safe to speak. You know, you're absolutely right. Here's just a couple examples. I was looking at Twitter this morning and some poor mom was tweeting what happened is her second grader, because she's in Denver Public Schools, it's all remote learning, right? Only the teacher's microphone got muted. And she said, so it turned into second grade anarchy, right? The second graders all turned on their microphones. And she said, you could hear parents.
Mommy, you stink. No, they were talking
trading Fortnite secrets and stuff. And you could hear moms in the background trying to say, what are you guys doing? And I know one of the teachers at our son's school was saying, hey, we get your pain. It was a principal. He said, our kid goes to school in Jefferson County. And today on Saturday, when school started Monday, there was some kind of stupid coronavirus thing, so they had to cancel school for 2 weeks. And he was like, I had 24 hours before my school started to find daycare. And he's, you know, I mean, you're right, George, that's where people are right now.
Yeah. So,
but you know that, George, I know that, Julie knows that. I mean, you don't have to be bold, courageous, and brave to say, you know, I think kids should go to school.
We need options here. What we're doing isn't working.
I mean, my God. You'd think somebody would say, you could say that without getting in too much trouble. Yeah, it would be okay.
I mean, here's the thing. If the campaign would talk to regular voters, find out what's important to them, and then message to those same voters, hey, unequivocally, I am for law and order. So the chaos you see in Denver, you know, almost on a nightly basis, I will do everything in my power to end that. Oh, by the way, I will also do everything in my power to make sure your kids can go back to regular school. And as a side note, the one person that is going to get more credit for getting Donald Trump reelected, and you may not be thinking of this person, but it's the Big Ten Commissioner. Because when canceled the fall sports season,
yes.
Think about who's in the Big Ten. Ohio State, Michigan.
Those ones are stadiums that 100,000 people go
You're
to.
You're right, where they don't have stupid NFL teams that are protesting. That's a good point. They should have let him.
The Big Ten is the Rust Belt, the places where Trump won in 2016, and this cowardly moron canceling, because here's the thing, how are you going to say no, Ohio State can't play when the NFL is playing in that same state and high school football is ongoing in the same state? And oh, by the way, there are college teams in the state of Ohio that are playing football, but Ohio State can't.
Right. And in the meantime, you have all of the Ohio State's. But you've got all the students. I mean, people know that it's it's a crock, right? You've got all the students going to parties. You've got the students there, since they're not playing football, they're all out doing other things. It's not like everyone is social distancing there. You know, you're right. I think the more, because the Republicans end up, George, I think getting stuck by, I mean, they don't know what to do about the riots, right? They can't really denounce them, but they can't really support them. They can't really crack down. They're mealy-mouthed about it. And then on top of that, you know, like you said, you've got the school thing and you got the Democrats saying, oh no, we can't start school. And oh, by the way, parents, this is what DPS said. If you try to form your own pod, well, then you're racist,
right.
I think all of this is.
Well, I think Corey ought to go out for the NBA Players Association. I mean, there's an article in the Atlantic. NBA players put America on notice. You're not going to play? No! I'm begging you, please, you got to play. What will I do if I couldn't watch some dull game on TV? I'll go insane.
Well, the Democrats are going to try and pretend that they are good at governing, at least through November, but you're going to see the wheels fall off very soon. Maybe it's before November, maybe it's after. But if you look at the big cities, their revenue is down substantially. I believe the number I heard for the city of Denver is 40%. So how are they going to maintain services and policing and everything else they do when their revenue is off by 40%? New York City, Chicago, a lot of these major metropolitan areas, what are they going to do? You're going to see Democrat governance and the effects thereof on display for all to see. And, you know, if voters vote for Democrats, that's what they're going to get. They're going to get chaos. They're going to get anarchy. They're going to get a local government and a state government that simply does not work.
Republicans
should be driving every day.
If they cut Denver's by 40%, what they'll find out is it doesn't really make any difference. you got hundreds of millions that are just given to cronies and everything.
All their friends would go broke.
They're cutting the police department anyway, fire, but they're burning places anyway. I mean, they're going to discover that there's this huge number of people employed at all levels of government that no one needs. So they'll instead make sure that whatever services actually are good, they'll get rid of those.
But George, you know, you make a good point, though. That's the bus that Trump was driving last night, right? He very clearly said, this is your choice. You want this America or you want this America? And I think I agree with you when local candidates need to jump on that Trump bus, so to speak, because trying to play anyone who's going to vote for somebody who is not speaking out is going to be a Democrat anyway.
Yeah, no, if I were a Republican, I'd be talking about the anarchy in our streets, the fact that schools are not open. Those two things right there, I would be driving every single day. Like, is this what you want? If you don't, then you need to vote for Republicans up and down the ballot.
Right.
I would talk of nothing else because that's what people care about. That's what's hitting them right now. If you're unemployed, how are you supposed to go out and look for work if you also have to homeschool your kids?
Right.
It's hard.
Right.
No, I think that's a huge winning issue that is being ignored, as all such winning issues are. And that one is hits people. They just look upstairs and see the Rugrats are still there all day long. I mean, it's.
But, you know, thank God a fourth season of Fortnite started.
Yeah, well, that was a miracle there. God looked out for us there.
They're making comments. Hey, George, we only have a couple of minutes left. Any just kind of final thoughts wrapping up what your research showed?
It's for all the Republicans out there that are disheartened because the media is spinning a lie. Trump is going to do very well. Here in the state of Colorado, if you talk to a Republican candidate, if you talk to anybody of influence, again, the issues they need to drive, you have a choice. You can choose anarchy and chaos, or you can choose law and order. You can choose school or that poor substitute that the Democrats are peddling. School and law and order, or do you want chaos, rioting, and you know, your kids at home all day long? Like, what are you going to choose?
Which is another form of chaos.
Yeah. All right.
Another form of chaos. So it's chaos. And drive those points every single day.
Yeah.
All right. George, appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, appreciate your research. We will be staying in touch with you, sir. Have a good weekend.
Thank you. You as well. Take care.
All right. George Anthonisopoulos there.
Let me talk about Synergenics just briefly. You know, about 23 years ago, they started this program, different type of medical programs, and age management medicine, reverse your biological age, rebalance your body with vitamins, with hormones, with whatever works, whatever you need, boost your libido, eliminate sleep issues, power boost your mental acuity, protect yourself from age-related decline, and in particular, protect yourself from COVID or whatever comes after COVID. So give Julie McCallum a call. She'll talk to you, no charge, just consult with you whether the Synergetics program would work for you, and I promise you it would. Give them a call at 720-387-3681 or Synergetics, Cenegics, and tell them Chuck and Julie sent you.
And hey, we got a report from our roving reporter, Mark, down there by the state capitol. One of our listeners said that right now he's at the state capitol. Nothing is going on right now. I got the impression, though, that the activity was going on at the Denver Police Department again. So obviously,
that's not too far from the state capitol.
No, lots to talk about that. Hey, on Monday, we're going to have Mark Poff back on. I'm kind of break down for you the shooting in Kenosha. A lot that is being misrepresented on that. And we'll just, you know, we'll show you what we know and we'll let you guys can decide. I want to thank you, everybody on Zoom. Thank you, everybody who listened. If you missed anything, please go to chuckandjulie.com. You can catch the podcasts there, and you can also listen live. And if you get a chance, we love it when you subscribe to us on YouTube and follow us.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, because I could have gone live from the Trump bus, so we need to get to 1,000. We've got a ways to go, but that'll make it easier for us to bring things live to you.
So thanks for everybody listening in. Thanks for everybody who comes for the Friday afternoon party. It's too short, which was we had a little more extra time, but we don't. So take care. Have a great weekend.
And thanks, guys at BBS.
And thank you, all guys at BBS.
See you Monday.